This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
Now this idea is coming, and this idea. But again, the practices are what help me and help me come back to like, okay, let's take a breath. Like, what's real in this moment and what can I really focus on? Like, lots of opportunities come up and you can give your energy away in ways that maybe not, they might not be your vision. So I think that that's something that I would definitely tell people, is to really sit with, like, it's exciting in the beginning when people are like, oh, this and this and this, you could do this. And then you're like, where do I start? Like we were talking about earlier, like what do I do with all of this?
Yeah.
Well, what does it feel like inside of you? Again, coming back to my practice, like, what is it, what does your heart say? And that's about like getting quiet enough. And I think that is what we have to do with everything, is being quiet enough inside to know what we really want. And that's where focus and clarity and confidence come from. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm
from the loop and I'm proud, run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi guys, it's your girl Nahama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so honored to have Allison conversation today. It's all about self-love. And I think a big part of self-love is completely accepting yourself, flaws and all, starting out messy. And I just want to read from here so we can hear a little bit more about all your like titles and who you are, and a little intro on what you do. So Allison is a truth seeker, a yoga teacher, a self-love coach. She does Reiki, sound healing, and I learned a new word, creatrix of restorative experiences. So everything spiritual and healing is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
I love it. Okay. So Allison and I met, what was it, a month ago, I want to say?
About a month ago,
we met at a Babes in Business event. Mm-hmm. And I told everyone about Le Cafe, my coffee, but then I also said I have a podcast. And if anyone wants to be a guest, let me know. And you were like,
yes,
let's do this.
Yes.
Okay. So I know that I still get a little nervous before episodes. And I also know that wherever people are right now, whether they're working out, they're driving, or they're just relaxing, or maybe they're at work and they're really stressed and need a distraction from their toxic coworker or boss. I would love if we could take a moment to have you lead us in some grounding.
Okay.
Or groundwork. How do you say? What's the proper terminology?
I say a grounding session.
A grounding session. Yeah. I love it. Let's do it. And I'm going to add in some fun music that's more meditative and relaxing. So.
Okay. So the first thing that I generally ask is if you would like to close your eyes. So closing your eyes or lowering your gaze. And just starting to bring your attention inward. Feeling where your body makes contact with the seat or wherever you are in this moment. And feel your feet connecting with the ground and the earth beneath you. Noticing your breath, not trying to change it in any way. The rise and the fall. This is your rhythm, your anchor. And this may be the first time that you've checked in with yourself today. Just noticing how you feel in your physical body. Your emotional body. And bringing your awareness to your heart center. Asking yourself, where have you silenced yourself in the name of love? And what would it take for you to come home to yourself? Just really thinking about those questions as we have this conversation today. I'm going to take a few breaths together. So inhaling slowly, holding at the top, exhaling, letting it all go. Again, inhaling slowly, exhaling, letting it all go. Starting to bring your awareness back into the space around you. When you feel ready, gently opening your eyes.
I needed that. I always need that. If you're driving right now, I would encourage you not to do that at the moment. I probably should have led with that. But come back to this.
Yes.
We'll put it in the show notes, like the time for it. So if anyone ever like wants to just clip and go back to this grounding session, they can go back anytime that's good for you. You're really good at this. You should definitely start your own podcast. I mean, honestly, even just with like 5 to 7 minutes of those. I was literally, I want to say she has a very interesting name. I think it's like Citadel Confessions is the name of her like podcast or Spotify thing.
Okay.
I found her because I had a life coach a few years ago who gave me a challenge that every day when I came home from work, before scrolling, before rushing from one thing to the next, to just take 5 minutes and do a meditation. It was some pretty life-changing stuff. So that's how I found her, because I wanted to find some guided meditation, something to help me and with the music and whatnot. So yeah, it was great. So there you go. That's a good starting point you can do, you know?
Yes, it's really one of my favorite things is grounding and leading meditations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're really good at it.
Thank you.
You don't even know. I just got back into them within the past 48 hours because I had like a panic attack Saturday night about just all my dreams and all the things that I want to do, but then the reality of like what it takes to do it. Anyone could talk about a dream. Anyone could make a mood board. But when you actually, especially financially, start putting everything together, then you're like, whoa, it's a lot.
Yeah. Even just a few moments of like taking a few breaths can help you come back to your center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done like an ice plunge?
No.
Really? So there's this, there's a few organizations in town that do it, but like they'll lead you through a breathwork class first for like about 20 minutes. And then you go into the ice plunge for 3 minutes, sauna for 15, and you can do as many cycles as you want with the sauna. They usually do like three, but you can do one if that's all you want. But it's amazing because once you're in the ice plunge, ice bath, you like are sitting there and at first you're like, hell yeah, I just did the thing. Like you're all proud of yourself. And then your mind freaks out because you're like, I can't get out. I have to be here for three more minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you start to hyperventilate. And so that's where you tap into the breath from before. And when you can ground yourself, all of a sudden it's like, because in that moment, you can't pretend you're okay. No. You really have to rely on your breath to like step right back into the zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was super powerful. I think you should try it.
I don't like being cold.
That's fair, but it's so powerful.
I could do like something that's like extremely hot, maybe.
The sauna. The sauna part you probably would like a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about you and your story, because I think what's so unique about the position that you're in is that you're a healer, you're a guider, right? In so many ways. And I think that usually the people who tend to be drawn towards those career paths tend to be the ones who like maybe didn't have that support for themselves, and they're always so busy helping others. So what was that journey like for you in terms of, A, getting into helping others and healing, but then like, what does that actually mean for you?
So I think the first thing you said,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like really defining what it means or what the word is, what I am. All of the titles, like I don't really fit into a box, and I feel like I just have to put the titles on there because that's what most people need to see to really relate to it, right?
Yeah.
And even the word coach, like that's something that I'm still like going back and forth about because it's really not coaching. I know there's a lot of, I don't know, negative views about what that means. And it's not me telling you what to do. This is giving you a space to explore you. And I'm really guiding you based on what your path is. You are a whole and complete person, and you do have all of the answers inside of you. We just get lost. And also with, I think, our fast-paced world and all of these thoughts that we have, we do not get quiet enough to listen to our intuition. And that's kind of where my journey That's where it started, right? I wasn't listening to my intuition. I had lots of signs, maybe not when I was younger, but at a certain point, it started like I knew I had a feeling in my body and I would go against it, because some of us are not taught about what that means to really know, like, trust yourself and knowing like, hey, this is a feeling I'm having and I should believe it, that not everyone is okay for you.
Yeah.
So today I want to talk about something that I haven't really ever talked about, I guess, publicly, but really not with many people in general. And that's that my entire life has truly been led by relationships. And even from a young age, I was like super interested in boys. I'm like, okay, I have to have this boyfriend. And just really, like, from middle school on, there was like not a time that I didn't have a boyfriend. And it went from one boyfriend to the next boyfriend. And it was always people that I think that needing fixing, right? Like, I can see the good in this person, but knowing that they're not right for me. But it was also seeking love, right? Like, I didn't understand that at the time, that I didn't truly love myself and I wasn't putting myself first. So that's kind of how it started. And then I got married when I was 20. I've been married 3 times. And I knew pretty soon after I got married that I shouldn't have gotten married. But it was kind of more of like, you don't know what you're doing, Allison. And I also have a rebel side of me. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do what I want. Even though I hadn't known this person for, in my opinion, long enough. And also, 20-year-olds shouldn't get married, but that's just
like, you, very young.
It is very young.
So the circle that you were in when you got married, was that, because I know depending on like cultures and families and where you grow up, that could either be considered young or it's normal. So was it normal in your circle or was it kind of like young still?
I think that it was young, probably. I'm from a really small town.
Okay, so yeah.
So people, you know, a lot of people don't leave. And some people, you know, they get married and they have children right away.
Right.
So it wasn't abnormal in that sense. But also for me, I think people were like, why, you know, why is she doing this? Like, this isn't really what she wants. She doesn't know this person. And that was really like the first time of like, oh, I probably kind of knew that, but I wasn't listening to myself.
Yeah.
I was being more of a rebel at that point.
Yeah.
And then really having to deal with that, because I'm like, I made this choice and now what? And it became a very, bad situation over time. There was abuse, and at a certain point, I became very depressed. I didn't tell anybody about what was happening in my life. I felt like I got myself into this situation, and I didn't know what to do with it. And then it was probably about 4 years in, I went to a dog show. And so this dog, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? Like, I need to have this dog. I want to show dogs, because when I was younger, I showed horses. And I was like, I feel alive again. Like, this is exciting. And I came home and I was like, I'm buying this dog. Like, I don't care what happens. I bought the dog. I started going to shows. And then I was like, I'm quitting my job. Like, I have to get out of here. And I want to get away from this person. Like, this is my way out. Like, I knew that it was time to do something different. And of course the situation it was increasingly difficult for a while. And then, And then I moved. And things started changing. But then again, I went back on the same path of, okay, I spent some time alone, but now I have to have a relationship, right? Like, I think this is something not only of not loving myself, but I think the idea that as girls, we, not everyone's told, but we're watching people, right? All these shows, and it's like, these are the things that you're supposed to have, mm-hmm. that you're not somehow whole and complete without them.
Right. And also you want to be chosen, like,
right,
you want that feeling. Right. Also, like, especially for you, being in relationships from such a young age, that's a part of your identity.
Yes.
So it's like, who are you without them?
Exactly.
Because you, if you were, I mean, since middle school is so young, like, yes. you never really got to, those are, that's like your middle school years is like the beginning of like personal development. And if you never got that time alone,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It definitely was. And I was just like super like focused on that. And it's kind of funny because recently I was talking about this with someone, a close friend, and she was like, imagine if you would have put all of that energy into yourself, like where you would be at in this moment.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but also I wouldn't be doing this. And there are people that need to hear this message.
For sure.
I think that, you know, even...
I'll just interject for a moment and say that, like, thing is, I was also just thinking about how, like, it really wasn't until recently that women had the freedom to be able to really even discover who they are without the confines of marriage. Like, it was less than 100 years like that women couldn't have their own bank accounts, credit cards, businesses. Women couldn't even buy their own birth control without their husbands. So if a woman was single, she certainly couldn't have birth control. Now, could women figure things out? They always have. But I'm just saying, like, it was like never, we didn't have the autonomy and authority to be able to develop ourselves, you know? So it's a relatively new thing that we're all kind of navigating and figuring out.
Yes. And I think that's the part that's a little probably confusing for me and maybe people that know me, mm-hmm. is that I'm also very like, this is my way. And very opinionated, and I have a lot to say. And I'm also, that's where that whole truth seeker comes in, of like, that's me saying why, and not from a place of being annoying, but I like to understand things on a deeper level, right? And I think that that's also difficult even today for some men to handle. And that was another issue that I faced in relationship with people is that piece of me. And I've had to quiet myself or silence myself many times because people can't handle that. And I just, you know, I came to a point of like, I'm going to say what my truth is. And that's something that I also want other people to be able to do.
Right. So obviously this is like super personal.
Yeah.
And there's so many.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
There's probably so many examples of times where you feel like you have to quiet your truth and like your desire to seek, right? But like what, just for like clarification, like what would be an example that you don't mind sharing of something where you felt like you had to dim your light or quiet your joy of like trying to learn more, if you will.
To learn more?
Yeah. If that's what you mean by truth seeker, maybe you mean something else.
Yeah. I mean, in lots of cases, I think that started like a long time ago of me thinking in this bigger way of like wanting to understand why things happen. And people are just like, oh, you're crazy. And like, that's wild. And you have a wild imagination, right? Instead of like, there is something greater than what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And like wanting to learn about it. And whenever I like, it's harder to like say in recent times because I'm not in that situation now of someone wanting to tell me like the things I'm doing are crazy. But I can tell you that what I do now, all the people in my past would be like, you are completely crazy. Like, you can't do that. They would be like, you can't go there. You know, those sorts of things.
Is it more of like the spiritual type things like Reiki and things like that? Because I know that's like a totally different kind of.
Yeah. I mean, this would have been like, for instance, jobs. Just regular jobs. I was told like, oh, you can't do that. Or you shouldn't do that, or you won't go here or there, you know, those sorts of things. Like the dog shows, it was like, you can't go to the dog show by yourself. Or,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, all of those sorts of things. At that time, I had applied to be a flight attendant. I lived in a small town at the time, and I would have had to like commute to like Kansas City. And the interview was in Philadelphia, and I was like, oh, I'm going, like, I don't really care. Like,
yeah.
And it was a big ordeal, not just for him, even his family. They thought that I was, you know, acting out in some way.
That's crazy.
By wanting to do something different, right? Not being this traditional woman. And I'm not saying that that's wrong.
Right.
But
it's also what's your desire, right?
Yeah, what makes me happy.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, again, part of my story is always putting someone before myself of like, okay, well, if this makes them unhappy, then I'm not going to do this.
I think that's also part of like getting into relationships sometimes too young. At 20, you don't know yourself.
Right.
I mean, you think you know yourself because there's that confidence that comes with being 20. Sometimes. Yes. But I think it's just like life, there's so much in life that can change someone, like loss of a parent, loss of a job, maybe just doing everything that you were quote unquote supposed to do, mm-hmm. and feeling like, well, this doesn't set my soul on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel inspired, you know?
Yeah. And I was feeling that on top of being in that situation, it was like, who am I? Like, what am I doing? And who am I outside of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this, I can't live my life this way. It needs to be way more exciting than
yeah.
this.
That's probably that Sagittarius in you.
Yeah. Like, I worked at a bank at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I have to look out this window one more day, like, it's kind of like on the edge of town. It was like in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everyone and all of that was great. But I've always known that there's something much greater for me to be doing.
That's cool. Yeah.
Not
everyone feels that. So like those who do, it could feel lonely until you figure out what it is.
Yes. And I did feel lonely. I felt like I had to dim that part of myself for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think even recently, I just remembered at a retreat about like remembering what I was like as a Girl Scout and like being sort of like in charge and a leader and like creating these events. And I'm like, that's what I'm doing now. Like I forgot her. Somewhere along the way, I allowed myself and other people to push her down, right? I dimmed my light because it made other people uncomfortable.
Yeah. And also, I think a lot of people kind of project based on their life experiences, mm-hmm. whether sometimes it's because they literally are just happy and they can't understand why you wouldn't be happy doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But sometimes people themselves have been dimmed and crushed. Mm-hmm. And so, but they don't view it from that perspective. Cause like, I think that's also a generational thing where like some of the older generations, they viewed it more as like, it's just being responsible. Mm-hmm. It's growing up. It's making these decisions, you know? Like, who do you think you are? There's maybe a few people who can do that, but most of us, we follow this game plan. Because, mm-hmm. like, I think when there is that call, if you will, to something greater, something that will set your soul on fire, and I think the hardest, loneliest part is, A, sometimes not knowing what that is. You know you're meant for something more, but you don't know what it is. And then B is, like, when you take the unbeaten path, there is no roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you meet other people who are doing it, like we were just talking about before we started this podcast, none of us know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're all just floundering and trying our best. You talk to someone else who kind of like went off the beaten path and you're like, oh, great. So like any tips, tricks? And they're like, don't die.
Yeah.
You know, like you'll be okay. Like, yeah, but how?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I was thinking about this because, like, you were talking about the fact that you had a boyfriend since middle school. And I was thinking about how different our upbringings were because I went to an all-girls school, grew up super religious, and we weren't allowed to talk to boys, even though I was super boy crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think not being around them made me put them on a pedestal that much more. To the point where when I finally was in college for the first time being in class with boys, I didn't know how to talk to them, even like a human being, even just how we're chitter-chattering right now.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do that. It took me years to like almost unlearn that segregated behavior, if you will.
Yeah.
So.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And for many years, I always thought that that was like a disadvantage, you know, like because I didn't grow up with boys, it was more awkward and all these things. And I was like, if only I wouldn't have, maybe I could have saved myself so much time and been better at relationships and all those things. But then I realized, like, talking to you, though, one advantage that came from that is all those years I got to really just focus on me and what do I like and how do I want to develop without having any boys distracting me. And let's be honest, any boy under high school age is not really you know, like good use of your time.
There's just, I don't know what the age is, but
but those boys much higher. I mean, listen, I think on both ends for women and men, the age of like full emotional maturity, I heard recently, way older than I thought it was. Women, apparently we come to full emotional maturity. And when they said recently, like the brain is not fully developed until like you're 26. I think they upped it to 26 now. Mm-hmm. But for women, we're not completely emotionally mature until 32, 33. And men, it's like 42, 43.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just imagine that. I mean, I've experienced all of my relationships before, you know, before that age.
But then again, like, majority of people, you're not going to wait until you're 42 because A, life is lonely if you don't have someone to share it with. And then B, especially if you want to be a mom and a wife, both right. from like the perspective of like, you know, a woman's body, but also men's sperm, like you want to get married younger to be able to have a family.
Yes. I think coming back to what you said, you focused on you.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's very important because I didn't focus on me. And being in that environment, I have no idea what that would have been like for me. But because you had that time to truly focus on what you want, even when we don't know what we want at that time. But there wasn't the distraction of them even being in your space. And yes, right. Like you might think that that was a disadvantage, but I think that all of these things are natural, like having conversation, like we're, you know, I don't think that that causes the kind of, I don't know, like thing that maybe you're thinking, right? And I think that like saying that there's this time limit, right? Of like, when do we meet this person?
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you are in your purpose, right? You know that you love yourself, that you're competent.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And you know more about you, right? Like, you know what makes you happy, and you're not going to tolerate anything less. So you're able to use that discernment a little better, I think, instead of all of these outside distractions, right? Coming in all of the time. It's like, well, you have, I guess, more opportunity in that moment. So you're like, I don't know. It just creates a different dynamic, I think.
I think, yeah, like when you, I've heard people phrase it like this, it's decentering men.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Where it's like, we're not saying that you don't want a relationship. It's just more about that relationship is complementary to the life that you're already creating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you're not coming from a place of taking, like we were talking about earlier. It's like you both have love for yourself,
mm-hmm.
because that's truly important. When you're coming right. from a place of like, I have to have this person to feel happiness, then it's never going to work out well.
Do you want to hear something beautiful?
Yeah.
So this guy that I dated, he changed my perspective on love because before I met him, I was like I'm still romantic, but I was just like all into like the romance books, Hallmark, all these kinds of things, right? And like the gestures, right? And so he was like much more, he was a Capricorn too. And he was like, it's more about like to love someone is to learn them, you know, which – I processed that concept a lot this past year because on one hand, you have to love yourself first, because if someone is going to learn you, they can't learn you if you don't know yourself. I mean, they could try, but the reality is they're maybe learning a part of you that hasn't been developed or blossomed, and like you need that space to become that too, mm-hmm. you know? And then like, I think the real love thing too, it's like, it feels super vulnerable, but it's kind of nice when you're just going about your life and they notice something about you, you know, how you take your coffee or just small little things that like you don't even think twice about and aren't even something you think about, but they're watching because they want to learn you and understand you and make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sweet.
It is sweet. And I love that. And that's something that I like would use now of saying, how can I love you better? And mm-hmm. what does it look like to love you? Like, what does love mean to you?
Right.
Because the way that I want to love you doesn't mean that that's what love feels like for you.
Right.
And I think that that's a newer concept.
With the love languages.
Yes, with the love languages. Because I could be doing all of this great, what I think is great, and you're like, why won't this person ever, whatever it is, pay mm-hmm. attention to maybe your love language is acts of service, right? And they never pick up things or help you do things, but they're, you know, buying you gifts.
Right.
And now you're just like, now what am I going to do with all this crap?
Yeah. But I also think it's important to note that your love language changes.
Yeah.
Like there's different seasons of like when you might want different things. So like that's why I think you should always be learning yourself, but learning the other person as well, because mm-hmm. that's going to shift. And so to be able to communicate, which is essentially what everything comes back down to like figure out where you're at. Are you familiar with Jay Shetty?
Yes.
Okay. So he talked about in one of his books, the concept of there's the love languages, but there's also fight languages.
Okay.
Which I thought was so intriguing because let's be real, fighting is a big part of relationships. And I don't mean like fighting, but like you're going to butt heads. You're going to have disagreements and different opinions, but how you approach conflict is going to be huge. Like, I think my biggest thing about conflict is like, I always want to make sure that we are not cutting down the other person's character. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to agree with me, but that doesn't give you a green light to cut down my character. And also, let's stay at the topic at hand. I think that's my biggest pet peeve. When you're having an argument with someone, and then all of a sudden it turns into like a whole, you know, a whole thing about everything they were possibly ever mad or frustrated with you about. And you're like, hold on. That's just how my brain works. I systematize it. I'm like, I can't do more than one argument at a time. We're going to deal with this argument, and then you could tell me why you don't like all the other things that I do in my life. I can't handle more than one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's that whole, I think, piece of like silencing your truth, right?
Which part?
Of people bringing things up is that you're holding this in instead of like truly addressing things in the moment.
You build resentment.
Right. And I think it's also being able to feel safe enough that you can say how you feel. That doesn't mean that I hate you. Right. It's like, this makes me feel this way.
Right.
I feel this instead of you making me feel this.
Right.
And taking accountability for whatever it is in the moment.
Right. There's so much that you can unpack in that, right? Because in that moment, like, let's say, for example, if we were having a conflict and you were to say, well, I feel this way about something. So it's like, that I think is always an interesting thing when that moment comes about, because it's like, first of all, okay, yes, the other person feels that way. Let's say you feel that way about whatever it is. But did you totally misinterpret the whole situation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then at the same time, your feelings are still your feelings and those still need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much to like always unpack in those things. But what he was talking about with the fight languages is that like some people want to deal with the conflict like right here, right now. And some people are like, I need to process. Like it's getting heated. I could tell that we're not being productive. I think we should pause and walk away. And usually those two people end up together.
Yes, they do.
It's always.
I'm a person of, I want to solve this now.
Yeah.
I don't care like how long it takes. And I'm always with the person that's like, whoa, like I can't take this. I'm retreating. And then that's that whole issue of like, you know, the anxious attachment and the avoidant.
Oh,
person.
The attachments. That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
So that's where all of that plays in. And so I need to check this out.
Yeah. It's really
fight language.
It's a fight language. And it's really helpful because like, obviously you're not going to pull out the fight language books or website and like, in the moment be like, hey, let's just figure out where, you know, these are things you want to know beforehand so you can like learn to deal with it. It's wild. Relationships are just wild, and like there's no way to avoid them, whether it's like friendships or relationships with your family or romantic relationships or with work. Like there's, you're always probably going to at some point have conflict with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then how are you going to handle it? But would it be an episode if I didn't bring up Kabbalah? Because I'm really into Kabbalah. And it's all about like not being reactive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like any of the things that are like anxiety, fear, doubt, worry, It's like, those are human emotions. And I think it's important not to suppress them, like we were talking about, because that's not healthy. Your body keeps the score if you do that.
Yes, it does.
And so that's also where you come in too, because there's so many different ways that you can deal with your emotions through like Reiki and yoga and sound baths. And also, I know you don't like them, but the ice plunges, they're really great too. Yeah. Like there's so many things out there, but even just breath work.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like taking, so Kabbalah talks about like taking that pause, taking that breath, if you will, and that being like, this is not, you know, logic would say that this is how it is, because that's also how you're feeling in the moment, your feelings take over. But doing that pause to be like, no, but I have certainty beyond logic that everything in this world is working out for me. I trust the timing of my life. All will be well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and knowing that, I think it's that an emotion lasts for 90 seconds.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
that's good to know.
And also, like, not becoming attached to it, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can name it, but you don't have to invite it in and decide that you are this, right?
Like, I'm not depressed. I am feeling depressed.
Right. Or
very different.
Or this is depression, right? Like, it's, I think when you're like, are labeling things, and that's like your whole brain starts like, oh, I'm attaching to this and this is my identity, and causing some of, you know, those issues. So yeah, I agree with you on this.
Yeah. And it's a practice, you know. I feel like sometimes I'll be listening to like podcasts, the teacher that I like to listen to, who gave the first master class that I listened to, is like David Guillaume. And like, he has a podcast now, he does like these master classes, and like, I'll listen to him, and in the moment I'm all zen, I'm all calm, I'm all like, yeah, we're chill, everything's great. And then, you know, life be lifing, something happens. It could be something as small as a red light when you're trying to get to work, or it could be something much bigger. But regardless, like, life will come at you. And you, in that moment, you have to be like, what do I want to do? Are you familiar?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You're with Bill Burr.
No.
He's a comedian. He's a little crass. But there was an interview he was in, and he had one line that I was like, you know what? Hell yeah. He was just sitting there, and he was like, everything is going to be okay. And even if it's not going to be okay, isn't it better to say that it's going to be okay? Mm-hmm. And then when you need to deal with it, you deal with it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Something I would love to jump into that we talked about a little earlier was like the concept of like jumping in when you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when it's messy.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what does that mean to you? That concept.
Like, are we talking about the idea of like doing something new and not knowing like where we're going? That?
Yeah.
Oh. So I think, again, that's a practice, right? Like all of life is a practice. And that's why all of like these different modalities are important, because it gives you an opportunity, one, to practice in that space,
mm-hmm.
but then you're taking the skills outside, right? Like even in yoga, it's like a practice of letting go, and like, how can I let go outside of that? So as far as jumping in with something new, it's the same thing of like, okay, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
but I have to trust it. Right.
Cause you have a call, let's say.
Yeah. Like every day I learn something new about myself and I'm like, okay, now this idea is coming and this idea. But again, the practices are what help me and help me come back to like, okay, let's take a breath. Like, what's real in this moment and what can I really focus on? Like, lots of opportunities come up and you can give your energy away in ways that maybe not, they might not be your vision. So I think that that's something that I would definitely tell people is to really sit with, like, it's exciting in the beginning when people are like, oh, this and this and this, you could do this. And then you're like, where do I start? Like we were talking about earlier, like where, what do I do with all of this?
Yeah.
Well, what does it feel like inside of you? Again, coming back to my practice, like, what is it? What does your heart say? And that's about like getting quiet enough. And I think that is what we have to do with everything is being quiet enough inside to know what we really want. And that's where focus and clarity and confidence come from.
Life is fast, but every now and then you deserve a pause, a moment that's just for you.
At Le Cafe, we believe that each cup of coffee should taste like a little bit of luxury. Handcrafted and locally roasted here in St. Louis, each of our single origin beans are carefully selected to give you the most unique and smoothest experience. Whether you like a light, medium, or dark roast, we got you. For those busy mornings, or for my coffee lovers who prefer efficiency, we also have K-Cups. So go ahead and pour yourself a cup that tastes like self-care. Visit www.lecafe.us to bring the cafe experience home. Le Cafe, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going into like, I don't know. My personality has always been to dive in first and figure it out later. Mm-hmm. Just because I think I can really relate to the beginning of the conversation when you kind of say, when you were saying how you kind of went through a little bit of a, what, how did you phrase it? Like a wild streak? Like,
yeah, I've been through lots of those.
You know, where you just are like, well, if someone tells rebel. You who to do, rebel, right? Yeah. Like someone tells you don't to not do something, you're like, well, now I have to, yes. Even if I didn't. If there was like 90% of me thought no and 10% was like, well, maybe. But because you said I can't, now it's happening. That's how I ended up climbing Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
Yeah. Because if you – this outfit should tell you everything you need to know about my personality because this is my personality. But like Kilimanjaro was like – I don't know. I traveled solo I'm 29. When I was 26, I traveled solo for the first time. And it was terrifying. They also told me not to do that. people told me about the movie Taken.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'm okay.
Yeah, you're here.
And I just was like, it just that trip changed me because I realized, back to our earlier conversation, how much people project onto you based on their own limiting fears and experiences and other people telling them no, right? Mm-hmm. Even themselves sometimes just telling themselves no and talking themselves out of it. And then once you start to do more things that people don't normally do or they tell you not to do, and you're fine,
mm-hmm.
then you start to be like, well, is this all an illusion?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
You're I like, do know what you mean.
Which is still scary. Don't get me wrong. Because sometimes when anything is possible, that's even scarier because you're like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
possibilities. But then I really got into traveling. I thought it'd be something beautiful to do all the time. Traveling abroad wasn't something I could afford to do all the time as much as I like. But I think every 3 years is about my game plan. So then I was game planning to go to Kilimanjaro because I saw someone else do it on Instagram and I'm like, hell yeah. Looks like fun. And I did it and it's crazy. But like, you know, you could do anything you put your mind to.
And that's amazing.
And then the crazy thing is it becomes normal to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had interviewed on my podcast, like two of my guests had been mountain climbers. And I remember like before I had even gone on my trip and I was like, incredible, right? Like what an incredible thing for a human being to do, climb a mountain. And now that I've done it, I don't think about it. I wake up and I go to the gym and I do the things that I need to do in my day. You know, mm-hmm. I go to work, I go to the grocery store, I go to sleep, I hang out with my friends. Like I'm not thinking about this cool thing that I did, which is also really interesting about life. How you can do anything, but then it becomes normal.
Yes. And something that you just mentioned, right? People projecting onto you.
Mm-hmm.
Like how often is that holding us back?
Like all the time,
right? Like subconsciously, we're not thinking about it. And we've made ourselves believe that we're not capable of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And even this is like huge about, like I say, like what you're feeding yourself, not just in the way of what you're eating mm-hmm. or drinking, but what are you reading? What social media are you taking in? What are you watching? Who are the people that you're around the most? And like thinking about that, that can really like change where you're going in your life and how you are loving yourself. Because if we're always taking in these messages of negativity, and we believe that we can't do things, you're going to be stuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I also thought I was stuck at points. And like, I can't imagine even like seeing myself now.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the beginning when we did the meditation, I remember when I started going to therapy and he tried to do this like guided meditation, like a really simple thing of like, close your eyes and imagine like your happy place. And I was like, oh, this is bunch of shit. Like, I don't want to do this. Like,
I used to do that too, by the way. That's so funny.
I'm like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. This is ridiculous.
You literally, you're fighting it. Like, you're stressed out more so that you're doing a meditation
mm-hmm.
than if he wouldn't have done anything at all.
I mean, I even said that to him. I was like, I can't do this. I was like, this is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
He's like, just try it. And then now I'm like, oh, I can't imagine being any other way.
And now you're guiding other yeah. people. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
You can do anything. You just have to put your mind to it. And I think changing the channel
mm-hmm.
of what you're taking in, truly. Because that also made a difference for me of like noticing the people that I'm around and like, are these people that have lots of limiting beliefs, right?
Yeah.
And realizing that a lot of people are dimming my light.
Yeah.
And like, even today, I was like, you know, telling you like, oh, I'm nervous about doing this because I've been told to be quiet so much. And like, you shouldn't tell people that and you shouldn't say that. And of course, there's like more I would like to say in a bigger way at some point. And it doesn't matter how, if this is my story and there are people out there that need to hear this. You know, I think when we think of people that suffer.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Sort of abuse, that it's these type of people, this, you know, socioeconomic status. And it's like, no, there are people from all walks of life.
Anyone. It could happen to anyone.
Right. It's not just a woman. It could be a man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's anyone. And people also, try to define it as just physical. There's so many ways that people can be abused.
Sometimes emotional abuse can be worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so like that message in itself is a whole area that is important to me. And that was, again, it's about I think trusting your intuition is so huge for me, because our body is always talking to us. It's always giving us signs.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like really wanting to offer these places of quiet and really diving deep into yourself in these restorative experiences, right? And it's difficult for people because things do come up, right? Of like, oh, whenever I'm not really busy, I don't have to deal with this emotion or whatever. But it's an act of loving yourself, really, to like take care of those areas. Because I found like the more and more that I take care of them, the clearer that I become and the less that I know that, like, if I feel something from someone energetically, it's like I don't have to deal with this. There's no point of me tolerating anymore because I don't have to. But before, I thought I had to, that I had to silence myself. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in the situation talking about like who you're around is so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with, sometimes people aren't bad. They just kind of are the products of their environments, if that makes sense.
Of course.
Especially if maybe they're more negative, right? Or they would call it realistic. But so you would choose to distance yourself from them, and then they'll approach you and they'll be like, did I do something wrong? There's, to me, that situation feels impossible because it's like, how do you tell someone? It's not that you did something wrong. It's just who you are and your energy makes me not want to be around you.
Sure.
That's a really hard thing to say to someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'm avoidant. Maybe that's just something I would like rather not. I'm just like, either you're my vibe or you're not. And if you're not my vibe, deuces.
I think that's it is difficult, right?
Yeah. It depends how close I am to the person, I suppose, too. Like how much it matters or if I feel they'll be receptive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was recently at this retreat and they were talking about truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what if everyone could be truthful? What if we just said what we really think, right? It doesn't have to be mean. It's just, this is my truth. But think about how difficult that is of like you wanting to say that to someone else. But we don't even tell ourselves the truth. So I think that that's just like a very difficult situation to be in of like, we've been told that we have to be nice, right? It's not nice to say that to someone else. Wait, I'm not saying to be mean. But if something genuinely feels bad for you, like you don't have to tolerate it, right? Like,
right.
And that doesn't mean that they're bad. I think that if it's somebody that you're like encountering and maybe they're going to be in spaces that you're in and they're just going to.
Like there's no avoiding them, it. Yeah.
Right. I think that something that's happened to me is like over time, I'm changing in like the way that I respond and even just not responding to some of it and just like literally letting them sit with whatever they say, which I know that that's difficult for people too, to just
let people be
or like be in silence after someone says something. Like you don't have to say anything to them.
Yeah.
Even that's a message. Yeah.
Yeah. It is wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, humans are wild.
Yeah. People will be people, right? I mean, it's just crazy how like we have different seasons, but I forgot where I heard this concept, but it was talking about, I actually think it was David Guillaume on Kabbalah. I think he was talking about that actually in one of the classes where he was saying about how like, who you're around really matters, especially energetically. Like they say, like, show me your five closest friends and I'll show you your future, right? So it's like, but a lot of us feel guilt and shame. And for example, if someone's been in our life for a long time, let's say you have a friend who you've been friends with for like 10 plus years,
But it's just gotten to the point where it's like, you're on a growth trajectory, you're a positive person, and they just like to kind of fester and be in the past. And they're not aligned with you anymore. But you're like, oh, but they were here for me when I went through this, they did this, you know, and there's almost this guilt and shame that you have to stay in that relationship with that person because of all the history mm-hmm. that you've had with them. And he's like, you don't owe anyone anything. And I remember when he said that, I was like, well, I'm darned, you know, you know, like it's such an obvious thing, I guess I should think. But like, as a woman, I think especially, we feel very like connected to people and we feel that guilt and shame of, oh, but if you've been part of my life and you've helped me through some of these really big things in my life that I was really down on, you were there for me, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes some of the most negative friends are the best ones when life is shitty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like when they're above you, if that makes sense, when they're in that role of being like a guider, protector, someone who you can rely on, that's where they thrive.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you start doing really well in life and you're positive and you're happy and you're thriving, they can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really weird.
Yeah. And I think that's something too that I've been like studying and reading a lot about is like the unconditional love and how that's like such a rare thing. I mean, to love someone no matter what, right? That you can set your ego aside, and how wonderful would that be? We all have an ego.
Right.
But it's a practice of like,
yeah,
if you are truly, you know, you truly care about this person, you want the best for them, no matter what, no matter what that looks like, if it includes you or not. And that's hard.
Real love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about that in terms of like with divorce, let's say, or breakups, you know, a lot of times you'll see people who, when they're in the relationships, or especially in the beginning, they loved each other. They were so romantic. It was all the best parts, the honeymoon mm-hmm. phase, if you right. will. And then they break up, and sometimes it's just toxic. Like, they just really want to rip each other apart, make each other's lives miserable. That's not real love. Were you ever really in love?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, if you really love the person, then when you break up with them, you're like, yeah, you're hurting and you're in pain, but you're like, it's unfortunate that we're no longer on the same path,
mm-hmm.
but I still want well for you. I still want joy for you. That's a very high level to be on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's like interesting with the unconditional love too, because I think with parents, that's usually how they say with like unconditional mm-hmm. love is usually you see that with a parent and a child. And so I feel like both my parents love me. My dad loves me unconditionally. My mother, I don't think does in terms of the fact she's more of a tough love kind of mom. And my dad's like anything I do, just unconditional love. And it's funny because growing up, I've always preferred my mom's style of love more, because to unconditionally love someone, I personally have always thought, is that really loving the person?
Mm.
Are we really, this is something I've talked about with people recently, the word deserve, mm-hmm. right? Some people it triggers them, like it comes from almost like an entitled perspective, like, oh, I deserve this, I deserve that. But in a spiritual community, you hear a lot of times, women especially will be like, no, you deserve love, you're worthy, like all these words. So depending on who you are, it's either a very positive word or it's a very like triggering word.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes for me, my perspective is like, I don't think you are always deserving of love. Because if you're acting like an asshole, you don't get love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when tough love comes into play, communication comes into play. Mm-hmm. And the person who loves you, whether it's a mom, a friend, romantic partner, they say to you, hey, I love you. What you're doing right now is not okay. And come into that I don't have to tolerate it bit, where it's mm-hmm. like, if you don't get your shit together, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a higher level of love, because otherwise you could be a doormat.
Sure. No, I'm not saying that relationships are never unconditional. romantic relationships.
Yeah.
They're definitely
conditional.
Thanks to that. Yes, an act of business, if you want to put it that way, for some people, truly, of that you're expecting this. And like you have your idea of how it's going to go, and they have their idea of how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, kind of like, okay. But also, I'm not saying like that they should be doing, obviously, I'm against these, you know, people acting out in all of these negative ways. But if I disagree with you, that shouldn't stop me from loving you. But if you continuously act this way, of course, you have to set a boundary and say, this is enough. Again, that's that whole self-love of knowing what you deserve. Because honestly, the love is that you're seeking is inside of yourself. You always have that within you.
And people reflect that energy too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you're in a healed space, I think everything around you changes. All of a sudden, you're like, why are opportunities coming my way? All of a sudden, it's so much easier to make friends. I'm meeting, you know, romantic partners everywhere, you know, like all of a sudden I feel lucky, serendipity, they would say. But I think like the easiest example was like one time I went to the grocery store. I was like, God, everyone's in a good mood today. I was like, not that that's a bad thing, but I was like, this is crazy. I feel like I'm in like a Pollyanna movie or something. And then I looked in the I was like passing my reflection. I saw that I had like a big smile on my face. I don't know what the heck I was so happy about, but people were just responding to what I was putting out there, you know? So that's why full circle moment, self-love is so important, because that's going to reflect back.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's like what I was saying earlier of like, once you're in that space, opportunities start coming out of nowhere. Like, or you feel like they're coming out of nowhere, but it's your mindset of like, when you change the way you're thinking and the way that you operate in life, everything changes. It may not happen all at once, but one day it'll be like that. And you're like, whoa, like I was resisting life.
That's a powerful thing right there. I was resisting life.
Yes.
Yeah. Super powerful. Yeah. And I don't know why, but I'm just like that, where like I hyper-focus sometimes on the way I love words and I love catchphrases. And like sometimes the way something is phrased, you capture that so eloquently.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a real thing that a lot of us are in a resistance.
Can we call your episode that? We call it the one where we stop resisting life.
Yeah. It's true. Like I was very negative for a long time. You know, like everyone's against me, right? And it's instead of, what role am I playing in this?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what am I doing? What am I tolerating?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, they're doing this to me. And it's like, well, yes, they did that, but you also had a choice. And I think, again, this comes back to remembering like what we're saying to other people and how much that impacts them, of like, yes, we need to address our own limiting beliefs, but really what we say to other people matters. Like, if I don't like to say if it's not nice, because I say things that are not nice all the time, or what some people might think is very nice. But it is. It's changing like the way someone thinks about themselves, or like you're telling them how they're going to do life. And it's like, you don't even know how to do your own life, right?
Well, I think that's why I heard it coined this way recently, and I really liked it, where it's like, I'm a big believer that nothing happens by accident. So if someone says something to you, and maybe you're like really pissed off at them for like what they said to you, and you're like, well, I wouldn't even want the life you're having right now.
Yeah.
But I'm a big believer that nothing happens by accident. So like if that message comes to you, yeah, that person didn't have to be the messenger, but that message was supposed to come to you. So then in that moment, it's like, okay, do I need to adjust accordingly? Is there truth in what they're saying? You know, and then learning to like
take the fruit and discard the peel, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, take what you need to hear and grow from it. Yeah, it's wild. I'm going to tell you something interesting. So do you like to read books like on self-development, personal development, that kind of stuff? Is that your life?
It's my life.
Okay. So there's this term that my friend just told me about that I thought was hilarious. So apparently there's this concept of when you read too many self-development books, but you don't take action on it. So you kind of just get up in this like loophole of just like reading without just jumping in when it's messy. And it's called, what did she call it? Mindful masturbation.
I love it.
I just damn near peed my pants when she sent me that because she's like super religious. I'm like, girl.
That's funny.
Isn't it the best?
Yeah.
That's what it is. When you are just reading way too many or listening to too many podcasts, you have all these gurus and all these coaches, but like, what are you doing with your life? You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain point where, yes, you need the toolkits, you need the practices, you need the systems, but you got to execute. And it's okay to be messy and you know, chaotic. We're all human.
Yeah. Taking action.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's going to just happen out of nowhere. Like,
yeah. And I think that's why I really like Kabbalah too, because it's not just, it's like law of attraction, but grounded in terms of like, it's not like we're sitting around all day saying positive mantras and we're just sitting here manifesting,
right?
You know, we're doing those things, but then we're also taking action when opportunities come about, or we start looking for action ourselves. And then I think it's all about the yin and the yang balance, the two. Yeah,
I love that, because there definitely has to be balance. We can go to extremes on
either end.
And I think something important about the self-help is, and I personally got called out on not taking action there by, a mentor. And she was like, you have so much knowledge, you're not sharing it at this point. So you're not sharing it. And she's like, that is a disservice to other people. She's like, remember what you were like at whatever point. She's like, you're ready. So, and I was like, oh, damn.
A good way to add guilt and throw some salt into the wound.
Yeah.
Zig Ziglar has this quote that I live by, which is, if you have an idea for a business or a product that's not currently in existence, and if it's even, let's say, for example, like me wanting to have a coffee shop, there are coffee shops. There's so many coffee shops. But my flavor, like what I envision, isn't currently in existence because it's not mine, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the idea, then it is your moral obligation to make it a reality. And I love that term, like moral obligation. I'm like, yep, that's what it is.
And I mean, yes, like even what I'm doing, right? People are doing this. And a lot of people get caught up in, you know, well, they're offering this or this, and you know, how am I going to do this? Well, because you are you.
Yeah, your energy,
right?
Is special.
Yeah. And your experience, like how you got there, is not the same as the other person. Like me doing a guided meditation, and the next person, they're going to be completely different. And that doesn't mean they're right or they're wrong. There's no judgment. Mm-hmm. It's just that this is what you need to be doing. There's billions of us. We all need these things. We do need to share them. Like, that's part of our purpose.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also remember I was doing graphic design. I was working corporate for 8 years and I was good at it, but I didn't set my soul on fire. And I would listen to these types of podcasts all the time, right? Like, and I think it was Lewis Howes in School of Greatness, where he mentioned that if you really want to do a career that's going to really fill your cup, you want to find something where you're in acts of service. And I think that was something that I really just sat with for a long time. And it's funny because how all this came to be about was my life coach at the time and my friend who had a coffee shop, they had a podcast together. And I used to listen to it all the time. I loved it. It was the first time I had ever known someone in person first who had a podcast. I thought it was so cool. Mm-hmm. And which is funny now, again, it's another thing where it's like I have a podcast, but I'm like chill about it. Whereas before I remember being like, whoa, a podcast. But really anyone could buy a mic and record themselves. Mm-hmm. But they did something unique because they were local here in St. Louis and they had a thing where it's like it was an open Q&A session. So like, because like-minded people listen to podcasts.
Right.
So it was a way to build community in person. And so this was their second live event. And I made so many great connections from that event where they opened the floor to questions. And normally I'm the type to ask questions, but I didn't want to take it away from someone else because this was, again, dimming the light, but there we go. Because I was like, he's my coach. I could talk to him whenever. I'm friends with the owner of the coffee shop. I could talk to him whenever. So I let other people go. And then finally they had one last question and nobody was raising their hand. So I'm like, I have this theory since I was like a little kid that if you have a question, someone else has that question, mm-hmm. and they may not be brave enough to ask it. So you should. So my question was, what do you do when you're good at what you do, but it doesn't set your soul on fire and you don't know what sets your soul on fire? Mm-hmm. And I didn't listen to that episode for 2 weeks because I was so afraid to hear my voice recorded. My voice is like shaking if you listen to it. It's funny. But like that was the moment that like changed my life because even though that was so scary for me to like get up in public, ask that super vulnerable question in front of everyone and it be recorded.
Yeah.
I walked away afterwards and I just had this high. I call it the magic of the mic. That's what it was. And I was like, I think I want to start a podcast. And it was, I didn't even know what I wanted to do, but just holding that mic, I was like, what a high, what a rush. I'm like, I want to do that again. I want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And then it's ironic because I had a dream of having a coffee shop, but it just kind of went into functional freeze where I was just thinking about everything that would need to be done to do it. And I was like, I can't do this. And it just was a very expensive Pinterest board for years. Mm-hmm. And then from that 2 years later, there was a lot of things that happened. Some of it, not in my control, but that very same Babes in Business that we met at, Steph was saying how like when you start to have that desire and that question and that spark and start to be like, maybe I should be doing something else, God, universe, source, whatever speaks to you, oftentimes will give you little opportunities to take. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, it will quite literally kick you out. So you'll like not get the promotion, you'll lose your job, all these things. To quite literally force you to reassess your life. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think this is also goes well with the idea of you keep the lesson, keep presenting itself until you're ready, right? Mm-hmm. So like going back to everything I was talking about, of like you're meeting the same lesson, mm-hmm. it may be a different face, a different location, but until you are ready to hear it, it's gonna keep coming back up.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So I try to look at all of those experiences as that they were each a teacher, each a mirror, and until I was ready to fully meet myself, it would be very difficult for me to expect to meet men that have met themselves that deeply as well, right? Like mm-hmm. they're not going to be able to hold that sort of space for me that I was craving, I think, from an early age of like meeting people on a deep level. But now knowing that I can also get that from myself, but it doesn't have to be in a romantic way. Like, you saying like we meet so many people and so many new opportunities come, and like meeting people at Babes in Business, like meeting people at retreats. I've met so many wonderful people that not like, I think I had the idea that a partner had to do all of these things. And it's like, yeah. There's so much that I'm getting from other people that are filling up parts of me that I'm like, oh, I didn't know that it could be this way, right? Mm-hmm. But until you are in those rooms with people and meet people that I like to say feel like your tribe,
yeah,
you just don't really know that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And it is scary to like put yourself out there. You said it's like even to ask a question, that's scary.
Yeah.
But we have to start somewhere.
And then it starts to catapult,
mm-hmm.
you know, real fast.
Yeah.
It becomes a little dust storm. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to open up that can of worms. My bad.
Yeah. That definitely can happen.
It's so fun though. Like I think even just things that like as an adult, I feel like when you're a kid, you're so much more structured and limited to express yourself when you don't fit the mold of the proper path. Because mm-hmm. even school, let's say it's really meant for like one type of student, one type of learning. Mm-hmm. Like, but even in corporate, I used to get in trouble all the time for taking too many coffee breaks. Mm-hmm. And for chit-chatting with too many people. And now that's literally all I do.
Uh-huh.
And like part of what I've been doing, I'm a big believer in order to do any business, you should start from the ground up so that you can really understand like the whole inner workings of it all. I had never worked in the food service industry before, so I got a job as a barista. And this is my second barista job that I've started since. I worked a year at Park Avenue and now I'm at a new coffee shop. And working there, he was like, yeah, please, like, chit chat with people, like talk to them, like really build those connections. And I'm like, dude, I was like, this is so cool that like my boss is literally telling me to do the things that I used to get in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the coolest part about being an adult. You could take like a perceived weakness and go into the right room and mm-hmm. it's a strength.
Yes, I love that. I think that's a powerful thing for people to sit with and like think about that is how many times have we been told that something's wrong?
Yeah.
With the way that we're being, and you're just probably not with the right people, and those are not your people, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I've kind of learned with people too, where I'm like, even let's say friendships, like I don't really hold on to people. It's more of like, while they're in my life, I love and appreciate them. But then if it goes, it goes. I don't try to hold on to it, you know? If it feels effortless, then sure. Mm-hmm. But sometimes friendships, relationships, it's for a season.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of go with the flow and be chill with it.
Mm-hmm. And we can learn something from it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a lesson in everything.
That's actually like such perfect timing because full circle, this whole podcast is based on this Hebrew quote, which is Eze Chacham Halomo Mikam Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. And we have learned so much from you. So if you can leave us with one last life lesson or favorite quote.
My favorite quote is Be Here Now, Ram Dass.
Ah, I've been hearing a lot about Ram Dass recently.
I went to the Ram Dass Legacy Retreat last month, and that was amazing.
Where was it?
Boone, North Carolina.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Say it one more time.
Be here now.
Be here now. It's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it like relates to like so much of what I do.
Yeah.
It's being here in this moment. It's the only moment we are guaranteed.
And truly have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something I'm going to need to take with me and pocket after we leave this conversation. Because like I feel like being an entrepreneur, my brain is always thinking about everything that I need to do, the next thing I need to do today, and where I need to be next. And I think that's part of the reason why I love doing these podcast episodes is because it gives me just that moment, if you will, mm-hmm. to really just be here and have these really beautiful conversations with guests. And I'm so grateful that you took the time out of your schedule to not only come here, but share so much with us.
Thank you.
Is there anything that we haven't shared yet that you were hoping to share before we close out?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what can my audience do to support you?
You can follow me on my Instagram. It's I am Allison Chrisman. Mm-hmm. And my website is AllisonChrisman.com.
Okay, absolutely. And we'll put that in the bio as well so people can easily find it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This has been so great. Yes. You guys should definitely go give her a follow on Instagram and check out her website. And I enjoyed this conversation so much. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right, guys, you know the drill. If you are not already watching this episode, you can go to Spotify or YouTube where the video is. And please share this episode with a friend who you think would benefit from it. I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.